Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
This is one of my favorite guests. Virginie Maisonneuve is a Schroders, the giant asset manager in the United Kingdom. She has an esteemed career, having the courage to stay in equities. She is head of global and international equities, Schroders. Virginie, good morning.
Good morning.
So much to talk about in this half hour. Let me get right to it. So many people have missed this bull market from 2009. How do you join this bull market now? If somebody was considering investment with Schroders, how do you get into the market?
Well, I think, you know, we've been advising people to have an equity allocation for quite a while. And I think in the portfolios, what we've done in our global equity portfolios is to continue to have quite a balanced position, because things are getting better. They have been getting better for quite a while, but actually they are not without any volatility. So we continue to have a nicely structured portfolio around our healthcare, where we see growth, some staples companies where we benefit from growth in emerging markets, and some of that is quite cheap right now. But also, of course, a lot of cyclicals, in particular industrials. I like industrial, and I've liked them for a little while. They've done well, but I think they'll continue to do well on this cyclical recovery.
Virginie, I was reading a prospectus last night. Folks, that's what I do in my free time. I was reading a prospectus.
Explains a lot.
And I noticed this was not a Schroders portfolio, how Anglo-Saxon the portfolio was. It's an international portfolio, but everybody spoke English. Is there a real trend right now to pile into the United States when you have an international perspective?
Well, in our global portfolios, although we like the U.S. from a top-down basis, we're actually underweight the U.S. because it's such a big part of the benchmark. And as you know, benchmarks are not wisdom incarnated. I mean, they're just here for as a guide. Clearly, the U.S. economy is doing better, but there are parts of the U.S. economy as a growth investor that I don't find very attractive. So in the U.S., I like the cyclical part. I like the healthcare part. So some of the industrial names, like Danaher, for example, you know, are very, very interesting in healthcare as well. But there's so many good companies around the world that you can buy. Clearly, we've had a massive change in Japan, as you know, and the upper house election confirming Mr. Abe's position means that he's going to be able to pass some of the reforms that he needs. And, of course, Europe. And we're actually overweight Europe. We've been able to find some very attractively priced companies, particularly when people were so negative on Europe. And the key about Europe for the past 12 months has really been the gradual, not recovery, but improvements in conditions. Although just until recently, PMIs were below 50, you've had, if you want, less bad pieces of news, which have led people to look at the area again. And from that standpoint, some of the progresses made in Spain, for example, are quite interesting.
What are the characteristics of the companies in Europe that you're finding? Are they companies that do most of their business outside of Europe, or at least outside the periphery?
Yes, exactly. Well, and you know, clearly it's a very vast universe of stocks. So, again, I like the industrial sector, and a lot of them are global companies. So companies like Schneider, for example, a French company with business in the U.S., in China, in Asia, all over the world. And so you have that category of companies, even in staples or healthcare, or are global, and some of the domestic companies, even touching the periphery, are doing better now as we're getting from a bad environment to a less bad environment. And actually, if you look at recent GDP number out of Spain, unemployment, things are not good, but things are much less bad, and that's what markets react to.
Virginie, where are you in the hard landing debate? Do I need to adjust my retirement plan, worried about Chinese economic dynamics?
I think what you have to think about is China in transition. So we've had this economy that went from a GDP per capita in 1993 below $600 to now the second largest economy in the world with a GDP per capita of over $6,000. And that's been a very rapid achievement. At this point, given the maturing of the population profile and the size of the economy, it's absolutely normal that this economy is slowing down. I would say that a 7 to 8% growth for an economy of that size is actually very respectable. What bothers me is really the short-termism that a lot of people are adopting in terms of looking at those GDP numbers on a quarterly basis. And instead of analyzing what are the structural shift and how this transition is playing out, because that is really what's important. So I think it's a shift. It's clearly not, you know, a bad environment, but we want to make sure that the reforms that are about to be put in place are well implemented and are passed quite rapidly before the Congress party meeting in October.
What do you do as an investor about this short-termism? I mean, you could have a great long-term view and get killed in the meantime.
Yeah, so our exposure to listed companies in China is very, very limited, basically nothing. What we do, though, is through global companies, at this point in time, it's not been the case all the time, but global companies who have business in China are benefiting from that growth, depending on which sector they're in. And if you look at the reforms that are being put in place in terms of the financial sector, I'd be very careful about owning Chinese banks. The deregulation of the interest rate, you know, there is good for the economy, is good for capital allocation, particularly to help the small and medium-sized companies, which is really the backbone of the economic structure in China, but not good for investment. In terms of corporates and the changes that are being put in place, more support for exports, for example, and trying to simplify tax structures, that is also very good. Again, if you're a large foreign company doing a big business in China, you want to understand how your suppliers are going to be able to react to that.
Virginia, one more minute with you, if we could. What do you and Schroders do about this trend towards over-diversified portfolios? Are we over-diversified? Are we in too many things?
Well, I tell you what we do for global and aqua portfolios. We have two ranges of product, one of which is three ranges of product. One is a 30-name absolute conviction product, so I would not call that over-diversified. The second one is a 40 to 60-name, again, complete global, including emerging market product, and our most diversified product is 80 to 100 names. And I think that, you know, when you look for best ideas around the world, those three ranges are actually concentrated enough that they give you access to really names with high convictions.
Thank you so much. Virginie Mazenov with us with Schroders, head of global and international equity.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.